I'm Rachel New, and I am literally on my last eggs in the wild throes of perimenopause, like millions of other women in the UK and worldwide.
And it has to be the whole society. Men need to know because it's the people they love, their mothers, their partners, their sisters, and the people they work with who are going through this.
This podcast is going to lift the lid on that whole messy, confusing journey with plenty of WTFs and lols along the way.
What does it mean to be an older woman in this society? And that I've got choices. I think it's like Mother Nature's pause, literally, to go, right, stop, take stock of your life and decide what you want to do with the rest of this wild, wonderful life you've got. That's the wisdom of menopause or the wisdom of old age, is we learn to listen to our bodies.
So welcome to On My Last Eggs, counsellor and coach and founder of the Menopause Cafe, Rachel Weiss. Welcome.
Thank you, Rachel.
How are you?
I'm well. Yes.
I'm excited to speak to you. I'm very excited to chat about the Menopause Cafe concept and actuality, having been to a death cafe myself, which is where the idea came from. Yeah. So we'll talk about the idea and the sort of principles of it. I also love that this idea came to you having just watched a TV program and then you completely actioned it. And I love that you weren't really, well, you weren't menopausal yourself at the time, but you just saw a gap in the market. So that there's me setting you up. Those are all the things I'd like you to talk about, please, Rachel.
Okay.
so tell me about the seed of the moment where you thought a menopause cafe would be a good idea.
Yeah, right. Well, let's go back to February 2017 when Kirsty Walk did a documentary for the BBC, My Menopause and Me. And I had nothing else to watch that evening. You know, what should we watch on telly tonight? So I said to my husband, oh, menopause. Yeah, I guess that will happen to me sometime. Why don't we watch this? So we ended up watching it for no other reason. And while on the programme, Kirsty made it clear to me that women don't talk about menopause. And I thought, yeah, she's right. You know, before I had sex, my friends would talk about sex. They'd had it, I hadn't. Before I had a baby, friends would talk about babies. They didn't care whether I had one or not. But friends who've been through the menopause are just not, I realised I knew nothing. I thought that's a bit odd. Every other stage in my female life, I've known a little bit. So I thought clearly it needs talked about. And I also realised there was a lot to talk about. Until then, Rachel, I just thought, happy days. One day my periods will stop. No menstrual products, no fuss, no contraception, might get the odd hot flush. That was all I knew.
Ditto, as so many women think that hot flushes, periods stop, maybe a little bit moody, a little bit teary. But, you know, we've all been there, so we can cope with that.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to our monthly whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think the reason that's all we know is it's not taught in schools and women don't talk about it. And so then, of course, men don't talk about it because how would they know unless we tell them? But watching that programme gave me a glimpse of the whole range of physical, psychological, cognitive, you know, all the different ways menopause can affect you and the fact we don't talk about it. So that's why I turned to Andy and said, do you think anyone would be interested in a menopause cafe? You know, like a death cafe, just a different taboo topic. And he said, maybe. So we put it on our business Facebook page, Rowan Consultancy. Loads of women. It was embarrassingly our most popular post. Nothing to do with the counselling business. And loads of women just said, yes, we would like that. And crucially, two women, Lorna and Gail, who I didn't know, said, we will help you organise this.
Brilliant.
So then what are you to do? You know, I had to go and say, yeah. Okay,
the ball started rolling, whether you liked it or not.
Exactly.
And let's just talk a bit about the concept, because like you say, it's a model of the death cafe, which you have run some death cafes in the past. And for people who don't understand what that is, it's about it's about getting over the taboo of death, because it's a bit like menopause for women. For everyone, death is the one inevitability. You know, it's going to happen, and yet none of us want to talk about it.
So John Underwood started death cafes in London, I think, in about 2011. And the idea is, as you say, somebody just choose a cafe, just an ordinary cafe, and advertise that anyone who wants to can come and talk about death. And we get them into small tables, and they have to drink tea, eat cake, and talk about death. And that's it. There is no other rules apart from you mustn't try and persuade anybody else, you know, to any course of action.
I thought you were going to say to die. Don't try and persuade anyone to die. We don't have an actual death cafe.
Absolutely.
So not that kind of gig.
It's definitely not. Although I think some people have a superstition that if you don't talk about death, it won't happen to you. And I think they don't like talking about it because it will make it happen. They think.
And that's probably the same with the menopause. If I think about my experience of menopause, possibly. Yeah.
Let's not talk about it, won't happen. So a menopause cafe, the principles are really similar. I rang up John Underwood, who very kindly said we could use his principles and his model and call it a menopause cafe, for which I'm very grateful. And yeah, it, the idea is it's open to everybody. So Menopause Cafe is open to everyone, regardless of age or gender, because we think everyone needs to know about the menopause. So it's not a support group that is only for menopausal women. I think support groups are great, you know, fabulous, please set some up. But a Menopause Cafe is open to everyone because our aim is to raise awareness. The other principle is we're not directing anyone to any particular course of action or product. So just because, I don't know, HRT worked wonders for you, we don't want you telling everyone else in the cafe that they must take HRT. Just say, it worked for me, or magnetic pants worked for me, or drinking black cohash tea worked for me. I like this, it worked for me, rather than you must do that. And so those are the principles, open to everyone, don't try and sell anything, a product or a service, and keep it a confidential, safe space. So if anyone wants to run a menopause cafe or death cafe, they don't need to know much about menopause or death, but they need to have some facilitation skills.
Yeah. And that's the key, isn't it? Because you don't want the person who's facilitating it to dominate it or lead it. It's not, you're not a speaker or a host as such. No. You are just making sure everything sort of stays on track and the conversation flows. And
yeah.
And what kind of conversations, I mean, I can hazard a guess at the kind of conversations that happen. I'm assuming you're now going to confirm my guesses.
Yeah, should we see?
And then that makes you feel good about the fact that, you know, this sort of all in it together feeling of menopausal women, which I think is often the first, when that conversation does open up, the first thing is feeling like, oh God, I'm not the only person this is happening to. And I thought this strange symptom couldn't possibly be anyone else's experience. And yes, it is.
The top two things people say after a cafe when we do the feedback forms is, now I know I'm not alone. And now I know I'm not going mad.
Brilliant.
So that's what happens. People have the symptoms and they think it's just them. So the things people talk about broadly, three topics. They tend to start with the physical stuff, physical symptoms, because that's a bit safer. You know, start by talking about hot flushes because that's the stuff of comedy. Then you might get on to the other physical symptoms. When trust is high, they will actually mention vaginal dryness, but it takes a while.
So I was going to say, how long does it take them to get onto vagina?
Usually the second or third cafe they've attended. You can tell the old timers because it's just... So physical symptoms, then people will mention the psychological symptoms. So the anxiety, depression, lack of confidence, anger, you know, all the emotions. But it's so physical symptoms, then the psychological ones. And eventually we get to what I call the philosophical questions. What does it mean to be an older woman in this society?
And I think those are the questions that once you have come to peace with or accept or got your symptoms under control, that is the point in menopause. That's the kind of sweet spot in menopause where you realize actually you're not thinking or worrying about this thing that has come to pass that is sort of almost attacked you, that you're now actually thinking about, well, what about beyond this, you know, what is life like beyond the menopause, and how positively different can it be,
and that I've got choices. I think it's like Mother Nature's pause, literally, to go, right, stop, take stock of your life and decide what you want to do with the rest of this wild, wonderful life you've got.
Let me ask you about your menopause, because as you say, when you first watched this program at the beginning of 2017, so 4 years ago, no sign of a menopause. How old were you at that point, if you don't mind me asking?
50.
50.
I was 50. And the average age I knew in the UK was 51. So I thought, right, be prepared, girl guide, you know, let's learn about it before it happens.
And has it happened?
Yeah, I reckon I'm perimenopausal now. I mean, I've got a rather boring menopause story, Rachel, because I'm one of the lucky few, I think, who's only got a handful of symptoms. So let me run through them. The first thing I noticed was my periods got heavier. That was actually before I was 50, and I didn't know that was a perimenopause symptom. Perimenopause, as you know, is the years leading up to before the periods stop. So my periods got heavier, which was really odd. I was not used to, you know, looking at the bottom of a chair when I got up to see if I'd leaked or not, or having to go and change my menstrual pads often. And they became less regular as well. So at first I was concerned and thought there's something wrong, until I realized that happens when you get older. I didn't know it was a perimenopause symptom. So heavier, irregular periods, I noticed. My memory went. I used to just absorb facts without trying. I would remember useless stuff because I'd heard it once. Suddenly I couldn't remember things. And that has continued. So clearly I wondered, was I having early onset of dementia or Alzheimer's? I was very delighted, delighted to discover it could be a menopause or perimenopause symptom. I mean, to be fair, it could still be Alzheimer's, but I've decided it must be a perimenopause symptom. So I've got workarounds for that. I just write everything down. Once it gets beyond three items, I just say, hang on, got to write it down. I'm told it does get slightly better as we come out of the immediate postmenopause. And the other symptom has been vaginal dryness, because I think that's the universal one. Not everyone gets hot flushes, but it just is a case that because the estrogen goes down, the lining of our vagina gets drier. Luckily for me, those four symptoms, the irregular heavy periods, the memory and the vaginal dryness, are all things that I can find workarounds for.
You and me sound like Menno twins, because we're both 54. I'm guessing you're 54 then. And my symptoms have also been heavier periods, vaginal dryness, right. Forgetfulness.
You nearly forgot that one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I could see the brain going.
Yeah. Oh, if it's more than two things, I can't remember. Uh-huh. Anxiety right. as well. And I got driving anxiety. I got specific. It was sort of pointed anxieties as opposed to general anxiety. But I'd never had that feeling that people, my daughter has panic attacks, and she, has been anxious since her early teens, really. And I've never understood that when someone's described a panic attack or that feeling of kind of pressure on my chest.
Like a physical manifestation.
Yeah, physical manifestation of anxiety. And the day that happened, and luckily it hasn't happened too much too frequently, but the day that happened, I was like, whoa, this is
scary.
I can do vaginal dryness.
And because there's workarounds. Yeah, you just use lube.
I have
it's
got
fine.
So much product for my vagina. Yeah. She is treated so much better than my face has ever been treated.
Likewise, I've never put moisturiser or stuff on my face, but that vagina's, it's got lubrication for everything. And you can buy it off the shelf in Tesco easily, but anxiety is less easily solved. The heavy periods, the memory, the vaginal dryness, there are solutions out there. But the psychological symptoms. Mm. It does give us a bit more empathy, like you know, it means you now get your daughter's anxiety more than other people's.
It does.
In a way we can't otherwise.
Yeah, it does. And it's also taught me, I've always been a bit impatient. So if I decide I've got an idea and I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it tomorrow and, get on with it. It's also taught me something about if I'm not capable that day, I'm just not capable. And when it began, I'd try and push through whilst feeling really anxious. And now I just, if humanly possible, shelve the thing that needs doing that day, because I just know that today is not going to be the day to try and tackle that.
And, Rachel, I think that's the powerful. Wisdom. That's the wisdom of menopause or the wisdom of old age, is we learn to listen to our bodies and what we can and can't do. Whereas in our youth, in our 20s, 30s, I was the same, just power through. Mm. Don't feel like it, just apply a bit of willpower. And I think it's not a bad thing to learn. And it's probably a good preparation for our even older age, for our 70s and 80s.
To learn when to we can't remember anything.
That too, but also when we just do things at our own pace. Yeah. Do you know what I feel like doing today? Well, I had planned to do a walk, but actually I feel like sitting in the sun. You know, it's a complete gear shift. So I see this as preparation for good old age.
I want to talk to you a little bit about menopause and work, because you have a section in Caroline Harris's book Embolden, which is fabulous. And you say something that really jumped out at me that I'd sort of tried to articulate myself, but not with the clarity that you manage, which is you talk about why we don't talk about menopause. And you say, in the 60s, when women started to go into the workplace, I mean, there was actually a point where, if you got pregnant, you just had to leave, didn't you? And sometimes they wouldn't give you a job if they thought you might get pregnant. And that was all completely legal and allowed. So women learned to not talk about anything to do with their fertility or their, reproduction. And of course, now we don't need that hangover because there's legislation and, we are allowed to get pregnant. We're allowed to have periods. We're allowed to have menopause. We're allowed to be affected by all those hormonal fluctuations. I mean, I suppose it's all part of the bigger menopause conversation, but how do we break that down? Because I know during my whole career, I had periods, I would never tell anybody if I had my periods.
No, you'd put something, you have to hide it.
Yeah. And I wasn't embarrassed about the actually I used a moon cut for 15 years of my menstruating. So I didn't have to hide it because it was already in there. But I wouldn't mind someone seeing the tampon. I wasn't embarrassed about having periods. Okay. I didn't want anyone to think, oh, that's why she was a bit snappy today.
Right.
Or that's why she got a bit upset about that. Yeah. Or that's why. I mean, I work in radio and I know that while I had my periods, I would get my words jumbled much more readily than when I didn't have my period, especially the first day. So I didn't want anyone to know that I had a weakness. That's how I saw it.
Well, I think that's how my theory is. My mother's generation, who worked in the 60s, they had to, I think, to be accepted in the workplace, they had to pretty much pretend to be men. Think of Mrs. Thatcher, first woman prime minister, but basically pretending to be a man, I think. And so I think we learnt I assume we learnt to hide any signs of difference. We would have hidden our breasts if we could have done, and our hips, we wore suits. So we didn't mention our period. If someone says, how are you today, Rachel? I would say, if I had a cold, I'd go, a bit under the weather, I've got a cold. But I would never have said, bit under the weather, first day of my period. I do say it now, but I think we learnt not to because it was seen as a sign of weakness. So we learnt to blur any differences about what made us a woman because the man was still the default and we were aspiring to equality. Now I think we've pretty much got equality. I know we haven't completely. But now we can go for let's value diversity. We are different from men. It's okay to let on that we have periods and menopauses and babies and childcare. You know, so, and that's how I see it. But that's quite a big cultural shift. And whole generations have been brought up that one shouldn't. Should be top secret.
Yeah.
Or having a menopause.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I've been much happier to talk about my menopause than I was about my periods. But I think that is because the landscape is changing generally, you know. And I didn't know, I mean, at 50, I'd never even heard the term perimenopause.
No, neither have I.
And I would have been in it. I suspect that my period, like yours, my periods were already heavier. I didn't even know it. So one can only hope that in another 4 years, you know, everyone will.
We hope so. But I think that's why menopause shouldn't be seen as an issue in isolation. I think raising menopause awareness links with period poverty, period power, and women just talking about menstruation and men talking about it too. You know, who buys the menstrual products and who talks about it? And yeah, the next generation are handling all this a lot better than we did. They're building on what we did. We built on what our mothers and fathers did, and things are getting better.
Who fancies a chart rundown of menopause symptoms? It's like you're 15 again in your bedroom, except you're menopausal. At number 5 today, we've got burning mouth. It's not quite as common as some of the other symptoms, but decreased levels of saliva during menopause can lead to what's imaginatively known as burning mouth syndrome. A hot sensation that can affect your tongue, lips, cheeks, roof of your mouth. At number 4, your friend and mine, vaginal dryness. Your natural lubrication is maintained by your estrogen levels, so as these begin to drop, you may notice vaginal dryness, causing some pain and discomfort, especially during sex. Why does Menno want to spoil all the fun things, eh? Make friends with lube is my suggestion. Number 3, digestive problems. Your digestive system is super sensitive and it's often the first thing to get disrupted due to any major changes to your body. Hello, menopause. So you can expect bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea and cramps. It's like a stomach upset festival lineup, isn't it, that? Number 2, breast soreness. Boobs are like little hormone barometers. Whenever things change, they let you know by getting bloody sore. So that's periods, pregnancy, and yeah, you guessed it, menopause. Time for the number 1 slot, and this week it's a rank outsider, electric shocks. Because of the erratic changes going on in your body during menopause, you may notice that you experience more electric shocks. It's totally out of the world, this, isn't it? It's also common to get these just before a hot flush, like a horrible little warning sign. Urgh. That, my friends, is your menopause symptom chart rundown for today. Oh, now back to Rachel Weiss. Talk to me about Flush Fest.
Okay, well, every year we hold the world's only menopause festival.
Woohoo!
In Perth. This year it will be online. When we first did it, I Googled menopause festival. Nothing came up. Those two words, menopause and festival, had just not been put together. Because generally menopause is doom and gloom and isn't this difficult and poor us. Now, I know there is a lot of suffering and difficulty in menopause, but I think like puberty, it's a time of transition. We need to embrace it and celebrate it and educate ourselves. So Flush Fest is the wonderful tagline for the Menopause Festival, where we start with a Menopause at Work seminar on the Friday afternoon. It's on a Friday. And so that's a bit more worky and educate employers and HR staff on how to support women at work, because we're the fastest growing demographic in the workplace, women age 50 plus. And then we just celebrate. We have a comedy evening, stand-up comedy with Pauline Eyre, All Change, and Mary Louise, who's a storyteller. Saturday during the day, we have a talk from a medic, but then we have creative workshops, singing, poetry, creative writing, you name it. Because I think that's how we learn about things and integrate them into our lives, is through the arts, as well as knowing the facts.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a real lack of it around menopause. Absolutely. At the moment.
It's still in the box of the "here's a medical condition" rather than the "here's a stage of life, let's explore what it means to us." So we've got theatre, though there's a cabaret night on the Saturday night, whole range of singer-songwriters just performing. So we want to make it, you need to learn a little, laugh a lot. That's our strapline for Flushfest 21.
I love it.
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. Break the taboo, have some fun. Come along. April 30th, May the 1st.
And the beauty of the pandemic, dare I say that, but you've got to find some positives,
is we can
all come along without having to leave our front
Travel
rooms.
To Perth. Yeah, you don't need to. So we'll get far more people than we've ever had before. All sorts. I think there's a lot more to be done in the creative arts. There's a little bit of drama. We've got some theatre on the Friday afternoon. There's some music and singing, and there was a sculpture, but we can't do that online. We're having an actual sculpture workshop. So that's the idea of Flushfest.
It's interesting how, I've looked myself at, people who are making art and expressing themselves creatively around the menopause, and it is difficult to find people. How do you find people for Flushfest who fit the bill, who, might be doing work around menopause?
Generally they find us. So maybe we've now got a big enough social media presence, or we've been in, like you say, chapters and books, articles and blogs. We've got big Facebook following and Twitter and Instagram. So to be honest, I've got more ideas of performers than I can fit into the programme, Rachel. I'm not sure how I find them. I think they find me.
In your sort of day job as a counsellor and a coach, did you have any idea that clients would be coming to you who would be perimenopausal? And they didn't know it, and you didn't know it. And do you look back now sometimes and think, how that would have been a different pathway, or how it would have been simpler had you known about it?
Yeah, that's why we ran a CPD, a training session for all our counsellors at Rowan Consultancy. We've got about 50 of them. And we just did a short training session on menopause, because it certainly wasn't included in counselling training back when I did it, which is about 20 years ago. I hope it is now. Yeah, if somebody has never had anxiety before, a bit like yourself, suddenly has anxiety, they might decide to go to a counsellor, and it would be really useful to just ask, where are you with the menopause? What stage are you at? This could be a side effect. Now, actually, how you deal with them in the counselling wouldn't be much different in terms of the techniques and ways of managing anxiety, but it could be a comfort and useful for them to know that this could be a menopause symptom.
Yeah, and it could open the door for them to seek, other kinds of help as well.
Exactly.
That, physical, like you say, get some lube.
Yeah.
Might say I'm anxious and I haven't even mentioned, that might be the opportunity for them to mention that also their sex life isn't what it used to be or whatever.
Talking about sex, I think there's a problem for some couples is the woman gets to menopause, and whether it's a same-sex couple or heterosexual, if that couple have never talked about sex before, it can be hard to then talk about, what are different ways we can give each other pleasure? Either can we use lube and still do penetrative sex if that's what they're doing? But also, our bodies are changing. Let's find other ways to have pleasure and give pleasure. But if they're kind of stuck in a rut of doing just one particular type of sex and then are not really equipped to change, and then particularly if it's heterosexual, the man may not understand why she doesn't want sex anymore. And, it can end in divorce, which can be unnecessary.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about education. Generally when it comes to menopause, I think lots of things happen in that time or can happen in that time that are unnecessary. People leave jobs that they love, but they can't do
a
anymore.
Lot.
Women might end up drinking more because
yes, they do.
Or so many things.
The way to cope. Drinking more, eating more. And of course you put on more weight after menopause too. Yeah. Lots of things happen that a bit of education would help. And it has to be the whole society. Men need to know, because it's the people they love, their mothers, their partners, their sisters, and the people they work with who are going through this. So a bit like men understand about pregnancy. Yeah, they don't understand the same way a woman who's been pregnant does, but they know roughly what might happen, that moods might go up and down, that the body changes. So if they knew that about menopause, it would be good.
Do you think, talking about sex, do you think there is the same kind of pressures on women to perform, for want of a better expression, that there are on men? Because I think, it's interesting when sort of Viagra became available. You know, it was, you could almost hear this sort of collective male sigh of relief, whether they needed it or not. There was now something that would make sure they would carry on being manly and virile. And it's an interesting one with women, because, you know, the menopause is a sign of our end of our fertility and, you know.
Yeah, I think the trouble is with the focus on performance rather than pleasure. I think a lot of women have absorbed the idea that their role in sex is to give the man an orgasm, and that is sex, and then it's over. So it is about performing. Whereas actually, if we could shift that conversation to what gives both participants or all participants pleasure, whether that's, you know, sensory and caressing and all sorts of things. But yes, if a woman has a fixed idea of what her role in sex is, then it makes it harder for her to adapt and change when her body changes. In a way, sex is all around us, but actually talking about what it's like and feels like and how to give pleasure and gain pleasure and make it mutual, I don't think is much discussed.
No, I think you're right. I think it's sort of, it sits at two poles. It's sort of titillating. It's sort of like fanar sex stuff. Or it's like, oh, sex, you know. There's no dialogue around it that just says it's every day, like eating. You know, we'd go, oh God, I can't wait to go out for a meal on Saturday night. Yeah. Now, maybe we don't want to hear our friends saying, oh, I can't wait to get home and have sex tonight. But actually, what would be the harm in that?
Why not? You know, we all have sexual power, really, whether we have sex with ourselves or with other people. And yeah, if it was a bit more normalised. We're getting there. Like, you know, the intimacy scenes, various telly I've watched recently, I think they've done the sex scenes really well. Was it Bridgerton and It's a Sin? I just thought there's something different. And what's different is it's no longer this soft focus, panting, two-faced. It seemed a bit broader.
Yeah. Normal people as well. I thought the sex in that was absolutely electric.
You know? Oh, right. Haven't seen that yet. It's on
have
the
you
list.
Not?
Oh. No.
Well, it's just, it's, have a watch of it. Well, it's been absolutely fascinating chatting to you. Thank you for deciding to start up the Menopause Cafe. Maybe you'll start the Sex Cafe as well.
Possibly. I think I've got enough on with this one. But yeah, and thanks to all the other volunteers. It's all run by volunteers and I couldn't possibly.
And if people want to do a menopause cafe themselves, what's the
Go to the website www.menopausecafe.net and there's a how to run a menopause cafe guide. And the important bit is to sign a working agreement saying you agree with our principles, that everyone's welcome and you're not trying to sell anything. You send the agreement in to us. There's no money involved at all. And then you can run one and we'll list it on our website. We have a list of all the events. And then they're worldwide. They've been running in Kenya, Denmark, Australia, America, wherever. Because it does seem to be a universal problem, not just
anyone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you very much for speaking to me today, Rachel Weiss.
Welcome.
That was Rachel Weiss, founder of the Menopause Cafe and Flushfest. To find out more about how to start your own Meno Cafe and how to get involved in Flushfest, go to menopausecafe.net. Next week, we'll be talking to artist Jane Woollett, who found a creative way of expressing her menopause journey.
What if the planet is menopausal? And what if Mother Earth is menopausal? And what does she need?
If you like the sound of that, you can follow On My Last Eggs with new episodes released every Monday from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get yours. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Do send a message. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week.